You're listening to my voice, compressed down to the constraints of the Advanced Audio Codec, known to audio nerds as AAC. It's similar to, but arguably slightly better, than MP3. These are called lossy codecs because the compression process sheds data from the digital file to preserve only what is audible to human ears. I've mixed it down to 24-bit 96 kHz, which is probably far more data than your audio system can process, even if you're using the newly released Samsung Galaxy Buds 2 Pro and playing it from a Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 4. These new earbuds come with Samsung's seamless hi-fi codec with 24-bit 48 kHz audio. In this episode, we go deep into audiophiles. We hear from an audiophile, and you're going to hear terms like sample rate, and that's the number of points of data per second in an audiophile. Then you're going to hear about bit depth, and this is the number of bits saved for each audio sample. A higher bit rate records a higher signal more accurately. CD quality 16-bit, but high-resolution files extend this to 24-bit. Bit rate, kilobits per second. This is the amount of audio data transferred per sec for uncompressed files. This is calculated by multiplying the sample rate by the bit depth. Welcome to Unencrypted, a podcast that tells the story of technology, where it is going, where it came from, and how it affects you. I'm Lindsay Shooters, a technology reporter in South Africa, and I believe that this is a tale of human minds that conceive these innovations and the real-world problems that they solve. Join me each week as we add another chapter to the ongoing saga of technology through the significant new product releases and engineering breakthroughs and the words of industry leaders. And that journey begins now. But first,
here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money. Unencrypted is brought to you by Advert, the sports broadcast technology company that is democratizing advertising for Africa. Advert partners with global rights holders to secure virtual feeds coming into the continent. These feeds are centralized, enabling simpler access for brands and agencies. Now you have direct access to tens of millions of sports fans during the moments that matter most to them, and your campaigns can live on in the highlights packages after the final whistle. Do you want to get your brand in front of the continent's sports fans on the biggest global stage? Request a demo today at Advert, ADDIRTT.com, and find the best packages to increase your reach. Unencrypted is recorded at the ATK Esports Arena in Stadium on Main in Claremont, Cape Town. My co-host Gavin Dudley is an audiophile, and he has feelings about wireless audio quality.
Hi there. So I think it's safe to say the era of the compact disc, the CD, is officially over. These days when we talk about music, we mean music streaming, real-time streaming over the internet. Whether that's stored on your device or not is something else, but CDs have gone the way of the dodo. So we really are focusing in on streaming services here, and that's usually what we're referring to when we discuss quality. So what would you say is realistically good enough quality? For an audiophile, the 320 kilobits per second that you would find on a traditional high-end streaming service would not be nearly satisfying enough. You would be looking for at least 500 kilobits per second for hi-fi quality. The problem with this, of course, is that it depends on what kind of internet quality you have, and also whether that kind of quality is offered by your streaming service. To name just a few, Tidal, which was founded by Jay-Z, is considered to be the highest quality streaming service, but is only available in limited quantities in limited countries. It is available in South Africa, but it makes big demands on your internet connection. Spotify is more common, but if you want the full strength quality audio signal, you have to get off the free tier and pay. Deezer also offers a good quality service, and Apple also regarded as a quality service. The point is, you need to think about the source of your music more than the headphones or the phone or anything else. So, for example, uncompressed audio, which we will discuss later, playing the music extremely loud exposes all the limitations of badly sampled music. It sounds terrible. So you need to download high quality music, for example, if you're planning on DJing. The other problem is that when you are streaming music, you can set your phone or your service to deliver a variable bitrate, which means that depending on the strength of your connection, whether your connection goes up or down, it affects the quality of the music as well. And that's fine if you're just, you know, on your skateboard or at the gym. But if you're trying to do that on a hi-fi and your quality goes up and down, it can sound really awful. So this is just a way of explaining the environment that you might be listening in. But now we'll get into some of the technicalities of how sampling rate works that was mentioned earlier by Lindsay. So first of all, what it's hard for people to imagine is that the process we're going to describe is happening at millisecond speeds. So when we say a sample, it means a fraction of a second, a millisecond. And this is what happens in that millisecond. If you strum a guitar or if you sing a note, it gets digitized. It's a sound wave that gets turned into data using hardware and software. And the more data it can capture per second, the better the quality of your sound. The wider the range of frequencies, the bigger the sound wave gets created that has to be captured, and the more data has to then be digitized on your equipment. So in other words, better hardware and software can deliver better quality sound because it can capture bigger sound waves. A lot of consumer equipment, like if you're running something like GarageBand on your PC, on your Macintosh, then it limits the kind of quality you can capture. Or for example, if you're recording using the microphone on your smartphone. Obviously, stereo makes that bandwidth double. So depending on the quality you need, your bandwidth will be limited. Human voice is very limited in waveforms, but once you're listening to a whole rock band or a full orchestra, you've got a lot more audio frequencies to deal with. Listening to, say, Taylor Swift or Beyonce or Drake or someone like that at full resolution sounds fantastic. That has to be adjusted to fit onto a CD, and now it has to be adjusted still further to get through the internet. So in general, the internet is a lot slower than the kind of speed you could get data off a CD in a hi-fi. So the sound quality tends to be worse because of the sampling. So even if it started off as Beyonce sounding fantastic in the studio, by the time it comes to you over your audio streaming service, it's quite possible that file has been compressed two or three times down to a fraction of where it started. On a CD, the sample rate is 44 kilohertz or 44,000 samples per second. And because a CD can hold roughly 800 megabytes of data, if you've got an album of 10 songs, each song could be up to 80 megabytes of data each. Streaming on the internet was a hell of a lot slower than that when people still used modems and things like that. So they had to invent a file format that could squash that 80 megabyte Beyonce song down to 5, 6, 7 megabytes. That's like a ratio of 10 to 1. They crushed it down 10 times smaller than what it originally sounded like. And MP3 was the file that could do that for us, even though obviously it compromised our audio quality enormously. So how MP3 crushed the audio down was by chopping off the full ends of the waveform that we created when Beyonce was singing. It cut off all the frequencies that in theory the human ear can't hear. And that would then save it quite a lot of data. And then it would also reduce how often the music would be captured. So instead of every millisecond, it would capture less and less. And so you would use less, you would lose a lot more detail in the music. But together, these greatly reduced the file size. And that was, unfortunately, the benefit of MP3, but also the damage that it created to quality listening today. But using Bluetooth on speakers and headphones changes a lot of things. Not only does music have to be encoded at the source and piped to you and decoded on the fly, but now it has to be re-encoded again for streaming the data over the air to your speakers or your headphones. For our purposes, headphones are just small Bluetooth speakers, so we won't really distinguish between them. The bandwidth available for Bluetooth is far more limited than the bandwidth you use on the internet, obviously, because the devices are really small. Your phone, your headphones, they have limited processing power, chips not nearly as strong as your PC, and small batteries supplying that power. So that in turn limits how fast the signal and how good quality the signal can be.
In 1989, Ericsson Mobile Chief Technology Officer Niels Rydbeck initiated development of the short-link radio technology for wireless headsets. Toldrin Wallgren, Jaap Hartsen, and Sven Matteson formed the development team. and they had a workable solution by the middle of the 90s. In 1997, IBM came knocking. They wanted to help integrate the mobile phone into their new ThinkPad notebooks, and they decided to take advantage of this short-link tech, which was now called Bluetooth. The project was too big for just IBM and Ericsson, and they called in Intel, Toshiba, and Nokia, and the Bluetooth Special Interest Group was born. The first product? A hands-free mobile headset in 1999. But Bluetooth only went to the masses with the Ericsson T39 in 2001, alongside the IBM ThinkPad A30. A significant update came with Bluetooth 4.0 in 2009, and the introduction of Bluetooth Low Energy, which operates in the same spectrum range, but at a lower power. In 2020, the Bluetooth Special Interest Group announced LE Audio, built on Bluetooth 5.2, which will support multiple connections to an audio source, or a headset connection to multiple audio sources, better hearing aid compatibility, and it will finally adopt a new audio codec called LC3, which replaces the aging SBC. The Samsung Galaxy Buds 2 Pro are going to get this update in the near future. But that doesn't automatically guarantee high-fidelity audio quality.
Just to be clear, headphones and speakers connected to your phone with a cable are still much better quality than the best Bluetooth, for the simple reason that sound doesn't have to be recompacted or recompressed to be sent over the air to Bluetooth speakers. So it's considered hi-fi quality when you plug things together, because it doesn't have to be recompressed to be sent over the air. A key word worth knowing about here is the word codec, which is a portmanteau, I think, for coding and decoding, codec. Better phones can decode more complex files and streams than cheaper phones because they have more horsepower and more sophisticated codec software. LG was the leader in this department, and their departure from the market is a sore loss for the audiophile in me.
Samsung has mentioned higher bit rates before, with the scalable codec offering data transmission from 88 kilobits per second to 512 kilobits per second, which is similar to Qualcomm's aptX adaptive, but not compatible with Samsung devices. For a bit of perspective, Sony's LDAC codec achieves 990 kilobits per second, which is currently the closest to CD quality audio that we can get over Bluetooth, theoretically. Qualcomm fired back with aptX lossless audio codec, and they claim that true 16-bit 44.1 kHz CD quality when it arrives on devices alongside low energy audio. Samsung hasn't mentioned any support of Qualcomm's new technology.
Bluetooth has been a very interesting business for every geek to follow. Every generation of Bluetooth since the 2000s has made big leaps in improvement on several fronts. Bluetooth is not one thing. It's a combination of how well the signal will perform, how well it gets around obstacles, how much data can be transferred at speed, and what the impact would be on the battery life of your device. So all these things have to be taken into account with each new version of Bluetooth. And they've made some surprising improvements. For example, if you want faster data over greater distance, overcoming more obstacles, that uses up more battery. But phone batteries have not changed that much over time. So the focus has been on how to make the software part of the Bluetooth protocols more efficient to do more with less battery impact. Bluetooth headphones have a processor chip which manages the Bluetooth connection and the decoding of the data stream carrying the music. As we explained, the phone is encoding the music data stream and broadcasting it to the headphones as radio waves, and the headphones are receiving the radio waves and then decoding the data into analog format like sound waves that you can hear. So without creating further confusion around Bluetooth sample rates and music stream qualities, here's what you need to take away. In general, the more expensive your phone and your headset, the better options you will have for transporting and hearing high-resolution audio. That's because the phone and the headphone manufacturers will have paid fees to support each kind of audio, and they will have put enough processing power in your devices to handle better definition audio. But none of that matters unless your audio service, that's Apple Music, Spotify, will offer good quality source material. So you won't get decent kilobits per second throughput unless you're paying for a decent service. You certainly won't get that on the free Spotify tier, for example. So here's the simplified version. If you care about music, shoot for Bluetooth 5 on both phone and headphones. That will cover you for good, basic quality music. But always, always spend on the source audio first. That's making sure you've got good quality internet signal and a good quality music streaming service, and then you spend on your phone, and last you spend on your headphones.
We're at a point where the streaming services are dictating the output sound quality, but the device manufacturers are trying to improve that actual Bluetooth stream. This is a problem that they created when they took away the headphone jack. Apple did it, and then they used AAC in their Bluetooth standard to try and raise the quality, then layered on Dolby Atmos, and Samsung soon followed. Like, you can get Dolby Atmos spatial audio output from the Apple Music app on a Samsung Galaxy phone. But when you're going higher up the spending tier, you're going for those premium phones, you're going for the premium headsets, going for the premium Bluetooth earbuds, then differentiators like high-resolution audio begin to make sense. And some companies are even adding specific hardware, like coprocessors, to deal with the audio encoding or the audio decoding. But that's a story for another day.